Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us, and I hope and pray that this message from God's Word will be a blessing to you. I'll be preaching from Colossians chapter 1, and the title of the message today is The Fullness of Christ. The Fullness of Christ. I'll be starting in Colossians 1 and verse 19. Now, last week, I preached on the preeminence of Christ from the prior verses here, but today I want to specifically focus our attention on what is called the fullness of Christ. You know, the Apostle John spoke of the fullness of Christ when he talked about Christ being the Word of God, the Word made flesh dwelling among us in John chapter 1, and how the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and how believers, true believers, have received of His fullness. Well, in Colossians 1:19, the Apostle Paul records here, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, he was talking about the preeminence of Christ, how Christ has the glory in all things, especially in the church, in the salvation of sinners. It says in verse 19, For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. Now, what is he talking about? Well, if you'll jump down to chapter 2, verse 9, he describes it here. Now, he describes it in the following verses here in chapter 1, and I'm going to come back to those. But just jump down to Colossians 2 and verse 9. And it says here, For in Him, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, bodily. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the sinless humanity of Christ as Christ existed as God in human flesh without sin. You see, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is both God and man in one person. And He is the connection, the union, the way that sinners approach God and find acceptance, find forgiveness, find blessing, find salvation, find righteousness, justification. How can I, a sinner, stand before a holy and just and righteous God and be accepted? Because God is righteous and I'm not, but God must punish sin. So how can I be connected with God? How can I have fellowship with God? How can I be blessed of God and not cursed? How can I be declared by God to be not guilty, to be righteous in His sight? And that must be if I'm going to have fellowship with God now, if I'm going to have blessings from God. Well, there's only one way. For in Him, Colossians 2:9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Christ, as God-man, God in human flesh, without sin, all the fullness of the Father, all the fullness of the Son, all the fullness of the Spirit dwells in Him. And what that means is this. It means that everything that God is in the Trinity of His persons, in His very nature, is revealed, honored, established, consistently in the person and finished work of Jesus Christ. Over in Colossians 2:10, he says, And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Because of the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Christ, that is the honor and the glory and the revelation of every attribute of deity, And it's summarized in how God is just to justify the ungodly. Every attribute of God is honored. Every attribute of God is established and revealed in the salvation of sinners who are complete in Jesus Christ, Him crucified and raised from the dead. Now go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Read it in that light. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. Now why? Well, look at verse 20. Here's the foundation of it that shows every attribute, the fullness of the Godhead, honored and established in the person and work of Christ. Look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Reconciliation. That's a beautiful thing. You see, by nature, we are all enemies of God. Now, if you don't believe that, just hold on to your seat right there, because we're going to read a verse here that proves what I'm telling you is true. By nature, we're all enemies of God. By nature, we're alienated from God. God must be reconciled to sinners, and sinners must be reconciled to God. What is the basis, the ground, upon which God can be reconciled to sinners and sinners reconciled to God? Well, here it is. Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. And that's reconciliation. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at this just for a minute. He's talking about if any man, verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And verse 18, all things are of God. Now, the old things are passed away. Now, what's he talking about? That's a sinner's former connection with Adam in unbelief, darkness, deception, and ignorance. You see, as we read last week in Colossians chapter 1, a sinner saved by grace is one who has been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Well, if you're a believer, you're a sinner saved by grace, you're not a self-made person. You didn't become saved by your works, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not because of, but unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the old things that are passed away, that doesn't mean I'm no longer a sinner. I'm still a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm no longer lost in the darkness and deception of self-righteousness. I still have self-righteousness that I have to fight, pride that I have to fight, but I'm no longer lost. I'm found, and I've seen the light. He's given me eyes to see, ears to hear, a new heart. He's brought me from unbelief to faith in Christ. He's brought me from being stubborn to being repentant. Now I follow Christ. So all things have been made new. I'm now a child of God. I'm now a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm now one of His sheep found who have been brought in. I was always one of His sheep, but now I've been brought into the fold. I'm not out in the wilderness wandering, lost. Now verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. All of that's of God. It's not of me. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. You see that? That's how reconciliation, that's how God and sinners are brought together in fellowship. That's how sinners are accepted with God. And He says, and He hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the gospel, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. Verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5, to wit, or namely, that God was in Christ, Now, what does that mean? God engaged every attribute of His nature, His character, His glory in the person and work of Christ. Now, that's another way of saying it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Or, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now, the word world is an interesting word in the Scripture. Most everybody, because of misinterpretations and misapplications of passages like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Most people look at that word world and they automatically think, well, that means everybody in the world without exception. But it does not. The context determines what the world means there. Sometimes the word world refers to nature, the natural order of things. Sometimes it refers to the cosmos, the whole creation. But sometimes the word world refers to the unbelieving, cursed world. Christ said to His disciples, "If the world hates you," John 15:18, "know that it hated Me before it hated you. You're not of the world. If you were of the world would love its own." He said to His disciples in John 16:33, He said, "In the world you'll have tribulation, but I've overcome the world." So it doesn't mean every individual without exception there. Doesn't mean every individual without exception in John 3:16. It means God gave His Son to bring His people, those who believe in Him, to everlasting life. And thereby He saves humankind through the salvation of His elect, whom Christ redeemed, who are called out of the world. Well, here we're told plainly who the world is. Look at verse 19 again of 2 Corinthians 5. "God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." Whoever the world is here, it's a people to whom God does not impute trespasses, does not impute sin. He doesn't charge them with sin. Now, if God doesn't charge me with sin, then I'm blessed of God and I cannot be lost. David said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? This is the world of God's people, God's elect, Christ's church, His sheep. They're all over the world. There are some who are Jews. There are some who are Gentiles. A people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. Not everybody without exception. Well, how do you know? We'll look at verse 19 again. All right, "not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." That's the gospel, wherein Christ is revealed and preached. Verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Now here's the point. All God has been reconciled to His people through the blood of Christ, His righteousness imputed. The question is this: have I been reconciled to God? Now, here's what He said, "Be ye reconciled to God." Now, how can I, a sinner, be reconciled to God? Well, look at verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." There's the ground of reconciliation. Sin imputed to Christ, charged to Christ, for which He died, was buried, and rose again. Righteousness imputed to His people. Now, how do I know my sins were imputed to Christ and His righteousness has been imputed to me? We'll go back to Colossians 1 now. All right? Look here in verse 21. "Now, Christ made peace by the blood of His cross to ensure the reconciliation of all things unto Himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." I believe that's talking about God's people, God's elect, who have died and gone to be with Him, and God's people on earth. Verse 21. Now look at it. Here's how I know God has been reconciled to His people, His elect all over the world, based on the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. All right? Now, how can I know that I'm reconciled to God? Well, look at verse 21 of Colossians 1. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Now see, by nature we're all alienated from God and enemies in our minds by wicked works. Now what are those wicked works? You say, well, that's got to be talking about the immoral segment of this world as far as men see immorality. No, it's talking about anyone who does not know, believe in, trust Christ for salvation. My friend, you can try to be the most moral, religious, sincere, dedicated, charitable person on earth. But if you don't know Christ, if you're seeking salvation by your works and not submitted to Him as your righteousness, you're alienated in enemies in your mind by wicked works. Those are wicked works because they deny God. They deny His glory. They deny the fullness of Christ. They deny His preeminence. It's a matter of pride, you see. That's why Cain was rejected. He brought the best that he could offer, but it was wicked because it didn't glorify God in the person and work of Christ. So, now the question is, how can I be reconciled to God, or how can I know that I'm reconciled to God? Well, he says in verse 22 of Colossians 1, in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. That's our justification before God. To present you holy, separated. To present you unblameable and unreprovable, not being charged with sin. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Do I believe the gospel, the true gospel? Do I believe in Christ, who is God in human flesh, by whose blood and righteousness my salvation is secured unto glory? That's the faith. And he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I'm grounded on Him. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed. Now that if there, I've talked about it on this program. In fact, I had a whole message I think I preached to him. Several months ago or years ago, just entitled If. You'll see a lot of if statements in the Scripture. This is one of them. If you continue, a lot of people, I have some friends, you know, who claim to be Christian, but they're not. They say, well, see there, that if is a condition you must meet in order to stay saved. And if you don't meet that condition, you'll lose that salvation. That is not what this is teaching. My friend, if you're truly saved by God's grace through the preeminence and the fullness of Christ, based on His blood and righteousness alone, you can never be lost again. And I know what people argue against that. They talk about, well, that means you can just go sin as much as you want to. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. There's not one scripture that talks about the eternal security of the believer that gives a believer an excuse or any encouragement to go out and sin. We're to fight sin. And that's the power of God's grace. But when you see an if in Scripture, you've got to determine one of two things, because that if can be used in two different ways. It can be used as a conditional if. In other words, if you do this, God will do this. And that's conditions. But you won't find that in the scheme of salvation in the covenant of grace. That's in the covenant of works. When God told Israel, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's a conditional if, because that whole covenant, the law covenant, the Sinaitic covenant, the law of Moses, was a conditional covenant on Israel. That's why they failed. And that's why we would fail too. In fact, we have failed. When it comes to salvation by works, conditions on us, we've all failed. It's not of works. We cannot be justified by deeds of law. We'll fail. But the other way that if is used is as an evidence, an evidential if. And that's under the covenant of grace. That's the scheme of salvation. And that's what this if is. In other words, you who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works have been reconciled to God. Now, who's he talking to there? He's talking to those who believe the gospel and continue in it. That's the evidence that they have been reconciled to God. Don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. What is the hope of the gospel? It's the certain expectation of being blessed of God eternally based on the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the evidence that I'm reconciled to God. That's the faith that God has given me. It's not faith that I had naturally. And Paul says in verse 24, as he was a minister, he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And he says in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The gospel message is sometimes called the gospel of peace. When Paul spoke of the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, have you your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Christ is called the Prince of Peace. And he's talking about peace between God and sinners on the basis of his work on the cross, his blood, his righteousness. He's not talking about being pacifist. He's not talking about peace in the world. Now, it's true that believers are to strive to maintain peace with everybody, but not without holiness. That is, not at the expense of the gospel, wherein the holiness of God and the fullness of Christ is revealed. I want to be peaceful with you, but I'm not going to speak peace to you or anybody else who does not believe the gospel, who does not look to Christ. If your salvation is conditioned on you, then I cannot speak peace to you. I've got to tell you, you're lost. You're alienated. You're an enemy of God in your mind. You may be a churchgoer. You may be a preacher. You may have grown up in a church. You may have been baptized. You may give your tithe. But my friend, if you're expecting God to save you, to bless you, to accept you, to justify you, to send you to glory, based on anything that you've done for him, I cannot speak peace for you. All of those blessings are conditioned on Christ. Here's what I'm saying. If God were to judge me right now based upon my best efforts to serve him, I would be doomed forever. But you see, God doesn't judge a believer based upon the believer's works. I know people say they do, but they don't. He doesn't. He judges a believer in Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul, out of his heart cry, said, oh, that I may know him, Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, somebody told me one time in arguing against it, they said, well, doesn't everybody have to give an account? Yes, we do. I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account. But what is my account? Well, the Bible says that if I'm in Christ, if I'm washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness imputed, God will remember my sins no more. You know what that means? That means God does not keep an account of my sins. He doesn't keep a record of my sins. He will not bring them up again. My account is Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. He's my account. I stand before God washed clean in His blood. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. I stand before God righteous, perfectly, not in myself, but in Christ, who is the Lord my righteousness. Now, if you don't have Christ, what is your account? It's your works. Revelation says you'll be judged out of the books, plural. That means you'll be judged based on your works and you'll be damned forever. But if you have Christ, you'll be judged out of the book, the single book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And it'll say this about you, a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I don't have anything to brag about except Christ crucified and risen from the dead. I stand before God in the fullness of Christ. My friend, what else is there? Why would you want to know, if you know yourself, and most people don't, but if you know yourself, why would you want to stand before God in your own fullness, which is really emptiness? I want to stand before God in the fullness of Christ. His merits, His blood, His righteousness imputed, His grace, His power. It's His righteousness imputed to me that justifies me before God. It's His righteousness imputed to me that gives that sends the power of the Spirit to give me life, to give me a new heart, to be born again. I cannot even attribute the new birth to myself, to my decision. It's God. He made me willing in the day of His power. So I stand before God in the fullness of Christ. And those who do that, they've been reconciled to God. They know God's been reconciled to them from the beginning in Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But now they've been reconciled to God. They've come to faith in Christ and repent of their dead works. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.